From Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, speaker, producer, and super coach, Orrin Harris.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Dan McKenzie. I am Mark Lejeune, and now, your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
You know, talk about change happening in the moment, and nowadays it seems like it's happening more and more, but maybe there are some of us that are actually aware of it. And some of us aren't. So Mark and I actually had an interesting thing happen this morning. We were in a meeting, and this is interesting. The guy says, you know, I'm a straight talker. I tell it like it is. And if people want to believe I said something else, they can believe I said something else. So the guy actually said, really nice guy, he's a great guy. And he is, he's a straight talker and says what he means. And we love that about him. And he says that, you know, sometimes I get into arguments with my wife because I say one thing and then later on she says, you said this. And he says, no, look, I said this. Now, if you want to make a story about it or if you want to say that I said this and that's all you, you know, and that's okay, but it's all you, right? You know what I'm saying? And of course, we understand what he's saying because he's a straight talker. He says what he says and he says what he means. Of course, that doesn't always mean that his wife or anybody else is going to understand. And of course, we all have our own stories and our own things going on in our head. So we don't always get exactly what people are saying and don't always hear of it, you know, hear it all exactly. But I thought that was interesting. So he actually mentioned that twice about his wife, you know, because if my wife, you know, because it's obviously a push button thing with him because his wife, it obviously comes up and he's like, you know, and I'll say to her, now, this is what I said. Now, you know, it's okay if you want to read into it or, you know, make another story of it, but it's not what I said. And then not, you know, in the same breath, he turns to me and he says, by the way, I bought your book, which he's talking about the little dog that could, that just came out like 3 weeks ago or so. And he's like, congratulations, shakes my hand. And you'd be happy to know I bought the Black Swan. And I look at him with a blank stare, and I said, the movie? And he's like, the book. Man, you were talking about it on this show that I was listening to.
For 10 minutes.
Yeah, for 10 minutes, exactly. He's like, your monologue was like, for 10 minutes. Well, don't you start, Mark, because you went along with him. Like, yeah, Filippo's monologues are more like monolongs. But anyway, but he's like, for 10 minutes, you were talking about the Black Swan, and now you don't even remember? And I'm like, you know, what was I saying about it? He's like, I don't remember, but I knew as soon as I heard that, it's like, there's something in that for me. I have to go get that book. So I bought it. I'm like, well, great. And so he then harassed me a little bit more about it. Like, can't believe you don't remember it. You talked about it for 10 minutes. Then we went on to something else. At one point I had to excuse myself and go to the bathroom and there was a line. So while I'm in line, I went on our website and actually went to the show that he was talking about. And I listened to the monologue, which actually wasn't so long. And I heard what I said. I said, the dying swan. And I remembered everything about the dying swan and everything I said in that moment as soon as I heard myself say the dying swan. And I went back to the table afterwards and I said, by the way, I never said anything about the black swan. I said the dying swan. And I said the dying swan over and over again. And he's like, man, I could have sworn you said the black swan. And, you know, what I should have said is like, look, what I said is what I said. Yeah, if you want to put your own thing on it, it's okay. As a matter of fact, in a way, I did say that because I'm like, maybe you needed to hear something about the black swan. Maybe you need to read that book. And maybe there's a message in that book. But the funny thing is that like one of his pet peeves is people not understanding him and making their own stories about what he says. When he's very clear about what he says. And here he listened to the show and heard me talk for 10 minutes about the black swan. And I never mentioned a black freaking swan. It was the dying swan. And I won't get into the story, but I think that is like, wow, lesson learned, I think. I hope for him, and maybe relations with him and his wife would be a lot better every time his wife says, "But you said," he might think, "Dying frickin' swan, black swan, whatever." All right. So I think this is an interesting start to our conversation with our guest, Orin Harris, today, because he's all about, or a lot about, flowing with the moment and getting what's real in the moment and all of that. So he reads deep into what the moment is about. We're having a moment today with our guest, Orin Harris, when we come back on the Life Changes Show right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back, and I'm here with Mark LeJour. And Mark, you were there this morning.
I was there, and not to beat a dying swan, but and not to pick on our friend, because we love him, and
he's a good guy.
And he is so spot on with so much of how he sees the world. I think that's why it was so important, because coming from him, it shows you that we project our realities and our needs in the moment and from either what we're seeing or what we're hearing. And boy, what a lesson for him, for us, and it's something we all could be paying a little more attention to, in terms of not owning so much that thing that we heard or saw, but maybe looking a little bit more at what we heard or saw from our own perspective.
Absolutely. And even the dying swan itself could be interpreted so many different ways. And that's actually what that monologue was about, is that the interpretation of the dying swan was always a certain way in my mind, but there are so many other ways to interpret it, that it was actually a beautiful thing rather than necessarily a negative thing. And we're still talking about the dying swan, and I can't believe we're still talking about it. Anyway, but yes, lesson learned, and we move on to our guest today, who is well, he's a lot of things, actually. Mainly, we're just going to say, for now, he's a speaker, a producer, and a super coach. He came to us from, Mark, you met him from...
Yeah, friend of the show is Hope Latimer.
Yeah, thank you, so. Hope. And then when you brought him to our attention, you sent a video over, and I then went and saw a lot of his video musings, which I thought were really great. We posted one on our website, and he's just like, it's kind of like... it seems to me, now we'll have to ask him, but it seems to me like it's just this flow of consciousness. Like, he's just like, it's just coming out, you know, listen and whatever you get. So he talks about the black swan a couple times. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so here he is, our guest, Orin Harris. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here. That's a funny story.
You like that?
Yeah, there's some nuggets in that one right there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you have to say on that?
In most cases that I've been with someone who's like being misunderstood and not being heard, it's because they're not being as direct and truthful as they think. So they might be direct with their words, but I would say, like, when someone's getting you, it's because what you're saying and what you're feeling. So it's like the intellect, the heart, and the voice is connected.
Nice.
And you're being more vulnerable. It's like somehow magically, if you hit that point where you're really connected to what you're feeling, you could say the same words, and then suddenly they're like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
That's
the living swan.
That's the living swan. Yes.
That's a connected swan.
It's connected swan.
With body and mind and spirit, they're all connected, and it's like your whole body's talking along with your voice and your words, right?
Exactly. So That's my thoughts on the swan.
Yeah, I like that a lot, actually. And we get that with comedians or with actors. Like they'll play a certain part, or they'll talk about a certain joke, and it's just not flying. And it's like because they don't believe it, or they didn't live it, or it's not real to them, and they're not connected to it.
Right.
Right. But the thing is, people go day to day living their lives like those unconnected actors and comedians.
Yes, like the dead swans.
Like the dead swan.
Literally.
Right, right.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm being silly, but like if you compare being connected to the moment, regardless of the content of the moment, being connected to inspiration or spirit, the truth of the moment, it's alive. It's alive. And when you're not connected to that, the degree to which you're not connected to that, it is like moving closer to death.
Wow.
That's like, you know, sleepwalking, the walking dead. So, wow. I mean, it's a kind of an extreme example, but I think it's very relevant.
Actually, very relevant. This reminds me of something you said before the show, that when you're working with some of your clients, and we'll talk more about that a little later, but when you're working with some of your clients, that there are some people that don't want to be here. Like, what do they say? What did you say? I'm not supposed to be here.
Right. I shouldn't be thinking this, or I wish I wasn't this. Like, but you are.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But you are.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. I wish I wasn't.
Yeah.
You still are.
Yeah. And even if the moment seems negative, there might be some nuggets of beauty or something in actually living the moment, even if it seems like it's not so cool.
For sure. I would say, I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. Like a lot of the feeling of negativity that a person is resisting is because they've already decided that there's nothing of value
right
in that feeling. But that very feeling, whether it's anxiousness or fear, it actually has information. It's just that the information is being distorted. But if you go into it, there's goods in there. There's gold down in there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that like metaphorically. I'm saying literally there's information if you look at it that way. But if you think that there's no value, no life-giving value to feeling that way, then the feeling of intensity of yuckiness is compounded because of the resistance to it, not just the actual moment.
Right.
It's the story on top of the moment now.
Right.
So
and one of the beauties could be that getting this finally might clear up the rest of your life. You might not have to do that lesson again.
Right. And to use that as an example, it's like, if you keep running, imagine if you keep a person gets to that moment and then they run away.
Right.
They could do that for 15 years running from that one moment. And like you said, who knows? They might live that moment fully one time.
Yeah.
And then they've graduated from that moment.
Yeah.
But literally, you could avoid one moment for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The lifetime.
A lifetime. Yeah.
Some people.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. You know, how'd you get so smart?
You know, it's funny you should say that.
Really?
Well, because are you guys familiar with Periscope?
Yes.
It's like the new thing.
Yes.
I finally got a groove on Periscope, and I'm digging it now. And I just did a Periscope recently about wisdom, like intellectual wisdom versus intelligence. And that, you know, I wouldn't necessarily consider myself really smart. I think smart in the way that, you know, most people would call smart. I'm fairly smart, but I much prefer intelligence, and intelligence comes from being connected to my spirit. And I think that's how we connect to intuition and to infinite intelligence. Phew. So it's much more, I much prefer that for many reasons.
I thought you were going to say you got smart because of Periscope. So
yeah,
where's he going?
Follow me on Periscope. That was a Periscope.
So that was a commercial.
Yeah. At Orin Harris. No, I'm totally kidding.
Well, at orinharris.com. That's one place. Yeah. Then we've got you're going to give us some other, because people can opt in for their Living in the Flow, which we'll talk a little bit more about.
Yeah, share that later.
But orinharris.com. Are you on Facebook publicly for people?
Or? I am publicly on Facebook.
Okay, as just Orin Harris?
Orin Harris.
Okay.
And I'm most active on Facebook, Instagram, and Periscope.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. And that's all Orin Harris?
Orin Harris. Okay. O-R-E-N-H-A-R-R-I-S.
So it wasn't taken. in other words.
It wasn't.
You're the one that got it. All right.
Yes.
Well, when we come back, then I'm going to change the question a little bit. How'd you get so intelligent then? I'm going to change the question on you because I'm curious about growing up and coming to this work. I mean, you're obviously you speak, you produce, you're a life coach or a super coach, as you say, and many other things. This doesn't just happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious what you were like when you were a kid. I'm just picking up on something about you as a kid. When we come back here on the Life Changes Show.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and I'm here with Mark Lejeune, and our guest today, Orin Harris. And a little later on, we're going to have our musical guest, Dan McKenzie, who's going to sing live for us. That's going to be exciting. In the meantime, I was joking about how'd you get so intelligent, but I am curious about you as a child. Like, were you a little smarty pants?
A little smarty pants? Well...
Yes.
I like
it's funny you should say that.
Funny you should say that. I would say I was like a hybrid of my mom and my dad, which my mom's really quiet and more introverted, and my dad's really, really extroverted and expressive. And when I was a child, I probably leaned a little bit more towards my mom, although I was a little bit of a smarty. And when I say smarty, like smart, can I say smart? Ass, I just did on this
you
show.
You mean smart Alec?
Smart Alec. Alec, yes. I meant Alec. but I, like, when I was really young, I was probably more towards the quiet side, you know, I questioned everything. And looking back in hindsight, I thank my mom for allowing me to remain curious because that came in handy later on in my life. At critical junctures, my ability to ask great questions was not squashed out of me because my mom encouraged that and allowed me to, why? You know, we're doing this. Why? You need to do this. But why? What if I don't want to?
An expressive introvert. That's interesting.
Yeah. I'm sure we could make up a term for that.
Yeah, Warren Harris.
Ask me more, but that's how I recall myself being as a child.
So you used to look at people and wonder and look at situations and wonder and think there might have been a different way or they could do this or why are they doing this? Did you look at...
I still do.
Well, no, that's why I'm saying.
I'm
thinking this is something you came with. I mean,
yeah,
that you bring to your work.
I would say that you know, 10 years or so ago, I really started to discover and remember just how sensitive I am. Mm. And when I say sensitive, not like just like I get my feelings hurt or anything like that, but sensitive to energy and sensitive to people,
right,
and sensitive to thoughts and just feelings of, you know, like people saying one thing but feeling something else. I rediscovered my high sensitivity. Mm. And so when I look back at my childhood for more awareness of my sensitivity,
right,
I can see, you know, things that led up to
right
today, you know, and in the discovery of that, my life had accelerated from that point, even realizing how I learn, how I take in and process the world versus other people around me, you know.
As a coach, I like to take people into their childhood. There's always something there. I mean, it's an obvious place to go. But what makes me curious these days a lot is what happened during that time before 10 years ago? Like when you kind of forgot about it or put it to the side, or it wasn't necessarily a conscious, you know, it's like, what was that period? It was just, what, growing up and being a college student or, you know, or... You know, what was that time?
For sure. I can, I'll go back to the point of, okay, when I got out of school, I got into teaching and coaching, which is the only job I've ever had, like traditional job, right?
Like school teacher?
School teacher, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I taught school, I taught health, and I coached sports, football, basketball, and track. And before I did that, when I was in college, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I tried on like 3 different majors. One of them was like law because when I was little, I used to watch James Bond movies and I thought I might want to be like in the CIA or something like that. That one passed really quickly. business, that passed really quickly. And I settled on education because I knew I was interested in sports and I liked people. So fast forward in, I taught school for 4 years, as I said. And then when I got out of that, I actually was already enjoying that. And so my career, my professional career, is not a typical like zero to hero, like I was doing something I hate. I was actually enjoying it. And then I took a leap of faith and wound up starting a business. And I got into acting because that was one of many things that I imagined I wanted to do. And I fast forwarded to the end of my life and imagined myself sitting around playing dominoes or something with just sitting there going, oh man, I remember the days, or, oh, I wish I would have tried this. I wish I would have tried that. And the thought of being at the end of my life, speaking like that, scared me and inspired me. And that's what launched me out of teaching and coaching to attempt to do some things. And then eventually I got into, but in that period of time, I was in a relationship. And I would say this is one of many catalysts, but this is one of the bigger ones. I was in a relationship with a gal from Arkansas. I don't know how relevant that is to the story. And that relationship got really, really difficult when her dad died. And also, her family was not in support of an interracial relationship, and so we were kind of hiding that. And so the intensity that came from now the discord that was happening between us was something that opened up me seeking a better way. Hmm. And I heard something in one of the first things that I heard was the book The Power of Now.
Mm-hmm.
But by time I had heard it, I was already experiencing it. Mm. And so it made some sense to me. I made a connection. I was like, oh, that's what's happening. So I think that answers your question. Like, that was one of many catalysts, along with me, you know, not wanting to get to the end of my life. And so that sent me really deeply inward, initially to try to like save my relationship. And then.
So in a sense, that was a blessing.
No, it was a huge blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, see, you know, I was going to say sarcastically, I love people who say, well, you didn't have the problems I had, so, or you didn't have to work, you know, in order to support yourself or whatever. People have so many excuses not to be conscious with their present life, you know, and I had them too.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, and sometimes I still have them, but, you know, but the thing is that, so that's why I love that you share this, because people, like, I listen to you and I think, I wish I could do that. I can't, I don't know that I can, I've never tried, but I can't see myself doing what you do. It's like your thoughts seem to be like from start to finish, like, wow, that thought came out perfectly and completely and succinctly. I mean, it was just, and understandably, you know, it's just like, wow. So, you know, people are like, well, I can't do, you know, he's obviously a this or a that.
It's right, like, right.
You're a guy.
I'm a guy. I'm a guy with a life and a path and one interesting thing in terms of my communication, which obviously is connected to my purpose, my, you know, my thing. It's my jam, right? Is I just remembered when you said that, going back to my childhood, there was a period of time when I was like 13 or 14, where I used to hum, and I thought it was just a bad habit. And in fact, my stepdad at the time was like, you know, stop doing that, right? Mm-hmm. He wasn't like really, really pushy with it. But years later, looking back, I realized that that was this seemingly never-ending, effortless flow of information flowing through me, which is my art, my communication. That was my spirit trying to come alive and getting caught in my physical body.
And not being expressed.
And not being expressed.
Wow.
Yeah, so just a little interesting side note there. But yeah.
That is an interesting side note.
Right?
Very interesting side
note. Yeah, so when I see people doing that now, or people that I'm working with, or when I feel it, it's literally, it's like unexpressed energy trying to come into expression through them. Mm. And that is one sign of that. Like,
I was just like, having this conversation with a friend of mine about some young people that we know that have this going on. And that is what I felt it to be, or in that neighborhood. And so to hear you and having that experience and now being able to reflect back on it is, that's great information.
Yeah, and I think that as what I'm calling a highly sensitive being, that's something that I never had any manual for. And it's, right. It's not like my parents could even support me on that. They don't even understand it.
Right.
So that is like, and I experience this with a lot of highly sensitive people. They have something deep down inside them that they really, they yearn to be fully understood. But like sometimes they cannot transmit it to their loved ones, to their family, to the world in a way that they feel like people get me, they understand me. And I think that it's a detriment in a sense, and it was for me, to try to fit into, if you're trying to fit into the world, which I did that unconsciously throughout my life, not realizing who I really am, then the very trying to fit in, which is some form of self-judgment, never allows the expression and the inner genius to come into full manifestation. You know, so when that's lurking in the background and we're trying to fit in, then whatever that is doesn't ever really get to come. And I'm saying that to say that you're like, I could never do what you do, and you're art. I'm like, that is why my art is so fluid.
Yeah.
Or one reason why, you know, through my life and the ups and downs of my life and my passion to discover that, that's what's freed my spirit, you know?
This is great, because I know there are a lot of people that are wanting to be themselves, wanting to be more like, well, actually, I take that back. I don't think there are enough examples of people that are connecting more and more and living a more and more connected life. I think there are examples of people that say they are connected and want people to believe they are, want people to follow them. And maybe that needed to happen in order to kind of wake up this, you know, next level.
Yeah.
But as far as I'm concerned, they could be done and moved to the side and let this kind of conversation make its way forward so people can get that, you know, they could be themselves, they could be real, and we'll all benefit from that.
Yeah, and you know, I'm immersed in the field of transformation, and a lot of my clients and people I work with are actually also coaches and speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, I'm like the coach's coach, or somebody, a go-to guy for that. And it's amazing how, like, this just happened recently in a session with a client. She's a really talented writer. She also does some coaching. And like when I'm in a session with her, the very thing that she is wanting to hide the most is actually
That's where the magic
is. It's like I'm like, that's what you're but it's like these are the deep, deep, deep things that are coming up for people. And it's like, because when you're feeling, when she's feeling how she was feeling, she's like, oh, I'm a fraud. And like, I don't want people to see that I'm a fraud. You know, and I want so then it's like this semi-false self gets created. And then now there's this inertia, this pressure when she's trying to go do the simplest thing and express herself or get, you know, go to the next level of her business and trying to be all strategic with it. And I'm like, you don't need strategy right now. You're just avoiding this one thing. You just don't want to see, like, you're scared shitless. Okay, there. Like, you know, it's just like, so yeah, I mean, that, whatever that is in there is, I think, very beneficial for the planet, but definitely because it brings a healing. It brings a collective. It frees everyone else that's having that same. Your presence when you do that has the capacity, unconsciously, to free someone else from that same prison they've locked themselves into.
And it gets back to what you were saying earlier about people being able to connect, people being able to feel the inauthenticity nowadays more and more. Or like they might be talking, but their body isn't saying the same thing that they're talking about. This is a fascinating subject, something we can talk about for hours, I'm sure, because it's the conversation that needs to happen these days. And I'm glad you're having it with your clients. And let's talk more about what you do with your clients when we come back. We're talking to Oren Harris, of course, and you can go to Oren Harris. By the way, Oren is O-R-E-N. And then Harris, HARRIS.com. And a little bit after that, we're going to have Dan McKenzie performing live for us here on The Life Changes Show, all right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life, and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Leshur. We're having a conversation with Oren Harris. We're going to be talking with him, and then Dan McKenzie is going to join us with some songs. This is great, Mark.
That's great stuff. You know, that where we left off before the break, or in that example you were giving about your client and authenticity, and, you know, I think so many people can resonate with that. But, you know, society in general, we've kind of been guided on this path of being off path and not even realizing, not being aligned, not being aligned with ourself. Right. And so that's part of what you were saying about this person. But it called to mind some of what we do with our Life Changes boot camps. And because this aspect of, you know, I think about a lot about the self-help community and how there's so many products and so many, there's so much good wisdom out there, but so much of it is, you know, you're going down the wrong path before you walk in, and then you get these tools. And so you can go down the very path you're going on more confidently.
So,
you're going the wrong way, go there with, you know, strength and motivation and go further and higher. But, you know, so coming back to alignment with, you know, self and getting back on path before then, you use some of these great tools. I think, you know, something we certainly talk about. That's what that reminded me of. So,
yeah, I think that's really essential right now. That's what I was saying earlier about, like, the idea of transforming oneself. It's, you know, we're overloaded with information and concepts and ideas that could be potentially beneficial to us. But I think we need more realness and more acceptance and more love, because it's like that is the jumping off point for transformation to actually work, to actually stick. And as I said, it's like if we're transforming ourselves and we get this new concept of self, but it's coming out of self-judgment, even if we create the new self, we're going to be fighting the gravity of the old selves, because, like, I'm this person and I'm not that person. That's a very slow-moving, unsustainable form of transforming oneself.
Here, here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even something as simple as how to attract the man or woman of your dreams. It's like, well, that's all good and fine. And maybe that was good and fine for a time. But if somebody doesn't know who they are,
exactly.
It's like, you know, so you attract this ideal person that is so not ideal for you.
You know, right. So.
Anyway, well, that's a whole other story. I mean, George told that. On that.
Right.
well, so let's, in the time we have remaining, let's talk about your programs. Actually, there's something that you offer at orinharris.com for people that opt in to your mailing list, right?
Yes.
Which is cool.
Fun, powerful, useful videos on living in the flow. And when I say living in the flow, I mean literally living in the flow, like that, you know, magical zone that we've all experienced, but also just in living an empowered life.
Mm.
You know, that's the current. If you go to my website and leave your name and email address, you'll get a series of awesome videos coming into your inbox. And
very
that's
cool.
Something that I'm still offering by way of going on my website.
Can you just for a moment expand on what empowered means to the people that need, you know, their doctors or need their job or need to pay their rent or, you know, in living in that space, you know, I'm thinking, you know, it's hard to really understand what an empowered life is. Can you touch on that for a minute?
Yeah, empowerment to me, one way to describe it is using all of your resources versus some of your resources, right? And so we've got our physical resource, that's our ability to move from point A to point B, right? Our body. And then we have our mind, which, you know, we have our knowledge, right? Whatever knowledge and information, that's another resource, right? And then but our spirit is this massive reservoir of resource, and connected to our spirit is our intuition, you know, and that connects us to the whole, connects us to infinite intelligence. And so to me, the feeling of being empowered is also, I'll add awareness to that. When you're aware, like you said, if you want a new relationship, but you don't even know who you are,
right,
you're not very empowered to create a new relationship. So part of the empowerment, the sensation of empowerment, the feeling of empowerment to create what one wants is built upon awareness and also upon using all of your resources, mind, body, and spirit. And I feel like when we're only relying on the mind and the body, even though we might feel empowered, sometimes, you know, we feel a little bit shaky or confused, but or not fully empowered, but that's because we're not connecting to our intuition, because our intuition has the information that is most relevant to us as a soul. And when we utilize information from our intuition, that sets us up for fulfillment. And if we're setting out to be fulfilled on any of our pursuits, that the ability to create fulfillment is also empowerment. And so when we're not utilizing all of our resources, we're not even capable of actually, you know, and the last thing I'll say on that is that when we're only operating from our mind or our identity, which is inherently limited, right, then sometimes we do not feel empowered, especially to go after our bigger dreams. Mm. And the reason we don't feel the empowerment, like feel capable, is because we're only sourcing from what we know, you know, and that's bound to make anybody feel insecure at some point on fulfilling whatever they want.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, like I like to say, stop asking your children what they want to be when they grow up, because you're going to put them in a box, because they have to think in terms of what's today. When they grow up, the things that you said that you wanted them to be, or they said they wanted, might not even exist anymore. And then they'll be totally lost.
Exactly.
So it's like, why are we doing that to our kids? What do you want to be when you grow up? Man, the people asking that question don't even know what they want to be when they grow up.
Right. It's like the blind leading
exactly.
The blind. And that's why I think that, you know, not to get off on education, but education, the root word of education is actually educe, and it means to draw out from within. And I feel like that's a revolution that's happening, because the educational system in general, I'm not saying anything overtly against it, is still comes from the industrial age type of thinking, which is more mechanistic and cookie cutter, which if you follow that evolution and see, it's almost like mimicking body, mind, and spirit. It's like all about things physical. Then we move into the information age. It's like, wait a minute, you got to be smart and have knowledge too. Then you'll be able to survive and thrive. But now we've moved, what's next beyond the information age to me is the inspiration age. And it, because it takes energy to actually move the body and to move this knowledge, not to mention fulfillment. And I think that the speed of change is changing so fast, it's throwing people into fear at times, that our ability to put our life back together just based on what we know mentally, we're not able to do it. So, you know, people like that are up to stuff like me and you that, you know, could be considered those people, at some point, it's going to be an evolutionary necessity to be able to be in the flow of life and to be flexible and fluid and malleable. And if you're not used to connecting to your spirit, your whole equilibrium, your whole world gets shattered every time something doesn't go your way. And so I don't think that's an isolated conversation. I mean, maybe it is to a certain degree, but it's happening beneath the surface. And it's happening.
Kind of like actors when movies were silent and they acted a certain way. Or for that matter, vaudeville, and then they became movies, and the vaudeville actors didn't really, you know, they had to learn how to work in the new medium, right? And then from silent films, they had to learn how to use their voice instead of overacting, and all that stuff. So it's like this is our new medium.
Kind of like a swan on the pond, you know, going on under the surface.
And the swan's back, right? Tie that right back in nicely. Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, before we close with the swan, just let's talk real quickly. We got a minute left about your coach training program, which you're launching in January.
Yes, the coach training program. It's called Miracle Coaching, and really it's an entire new paradigm that I'm introducing in the field of coaching. When I say coaching, you could be a life coach, a performance coach, a healer, someone who is creating, helping people create and live extraordinary lives. And really I'm offering a couple things. One is a webinar that I'm going to be doing next week. I'll be doing a couple of them, and I'll give some information about that here in a second. But what I would say about miracle coaching is that this speaks to this evolution that I'm talking about in connecting more with spirit. And so it's not another tool or technique or concept. In fact, it's the transformation into moving and connecting more with that part of ourselves that is connected to source, and being able to be a conduit that can facilitate transformation in a completely new way than we're used to seeing it, which is primarily based on philosophies, tools, techniques, ideas, modalities, all of which are amazing. This is a completely different paradigm, and we're starting to see more and more sparks of it coming and surfacing. And so I'm offering, I'm doing a webinar. Can I give the link? It's kind of—
Yes, of course.
Okay. So I'm doing a webinar, which is free, and the link is bit.ly/miracle coaching webinar. I'll say it one more time. bit.ly/miracle coaching webinar.
And send that to us, so we'll put it on our website as well for you.
Sure, yeah. And so anybody who's a coach, whether you're a beginner or if you're a master coach, I have some really, really extraordinary stuff to share in the realm of uplifting the planet, really. I mean, it's about coaching clients, but it's really about evolving and uplifting the entire planet. So,
and speaking about coaching clients, I know that you still do one-on-ones when you have the time and when you have the slots available. So people can contact you directly. Is it through your website?
Yeah. If someone wants to inquire about coaching, probably best to either contact me through my website or, I'll give out my other email address.
It's all right.
Yeah, he's like, you don't look sure about that. It's orinharris@gmail.com. So okay. It's my name at gmail.com. And yes, I do have some spaces available currently, and I'm inspired to work with inspired, passionate, gifted people that are committed to living their highest potential.
Well, if this show is any indication of what you have to offer, we're... That's not only a great thing, but you just got a big nod from our program director at BBS Radio. He wrote a lot of heartfelt wisdom here. Great stuff. Wise. He wrote, wise is a person with knowledge that inspires. So more power to you. And
awesome.
Thanks for joining us. This has been a lot of fun. And yes, very heartfelt.
thank you. I appreciate it.
Hang with us, if you will. We've got Dan McKenzie coming in. He's going to be doing some live music here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back, and our musical guest is Dan McKenzie, and he walked into the studio saying, "This is right up his alley." I can't wait to have him share a little bit what he already shared with us. But in the meantime, Dan McKenzie is an Emmy-nominated singer, songwriter, producer, composer. You've heard his music on a lot of shows and movies, and it's kind of exciting to have you here. Thank you for being with us.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
I don't mean kind of exciting. I mean
super
exciting. Yeah, super
I'm excited. I'm super excited to be here.
and how great that Orrin Harris was our guest. I mean, you said this is right up your alley.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's kind of, I mean, I said it as a sideline, not that it's to be dismissive. It's another interest of mine, self-transformational work. And I've studied a lot of the people that were sort of brought up here. Eckhart Tolle has had an impact on me. I'm really into Rudolf Steiner. That's what I mentioned that crazy long word anthroposophy about, and nonviolent communication. And I just, I'm excited by the fact that people, it's a little bit like the new yoga in the sense that it's becoming very widespread, this whole notion of self-transformational work and being in the flow. And as you know, there's a lot out there. It's a grand buffet of it. And it's exciting though. It's to hear people having really in-depth conversations about what that means and what the actual work involved is versus just sort of the concept of it.
Has this changed your music at all?
Well, you know, it's something that's I got interested in probably around the same time I started writing songs. Mm. I had the benefit of my girlfriend in high school had a mom who was really into the New Age movement. So sort of like maybe that's the second wave. I was going to say the first wave. Maybe the hippie movement is the first wave in this country. So I was learning a lot about karma and accountability and all kinds of stuff was floating by my consciousness back in those days. And so I don't think that there was like an entry point where sort of spiritual self-transformational work had an impact. But I would say that as I get along in years, I'm trying to be more conscious about what I'm expressing, maybe lyrically.
Wow.
And when I think about working on bigger projects, which is something I'm getting into now, like writing an entire musical, there's definitely a huge aspect of self-transformational potential, I think, that I'd like to infuse in that.
Now, you already have a musical with Donald Sutherland and Ty Daly, and this is another one you're writing.
Well, I can't claim to have written that one. I have a couple of projects out there that I contributed to. There's a movie called Basmati Blues that's hopefully going to come out early 2016, starring a lovely young lass named Brie Larson, who's kind of getting a lot of heat now, and Donald Sutherland. I have a few songs in that. I didn't write the actual screenplay or anything. I just worked with the director and producer and crafted a few of the songs, and that was great. And I did a kids project for anyone who has like young, what do they call them, tweens that are just under.
Tweens?
Yeah.
Okay.
Called Dear Dumb Diary. And that's right. Kind of blown up on Netflix now. It got a limited TV release, but thanks to Netflix, you know, things have a second life these days.
So. You've written a lot of stuff. You worked with Joe Raposo? Or?
I didn't work. No, I actually, Joe, there's an ASCAP Foundation award. That's called the Joe
Raposo, you got the award.
Award.
Okay, right, right. The Sammy, right. Okay. Sammy Kahn. Which you were the winner of the ASCAP Foundation Award for singer songwriters.
Yeah.
And you've done shows for Discovery. I mean, you've done a lot of stuff. So more power to you.
Thanks.
And what are we going to hear today?
Just a couple of tunes. You know, I have a couple of different incarnations or iterations of my identity as a songwriter, which I think early on was more of a curse than a blessing because I like doing a lot of different styles.
Mm.
And now that there's not pressure to get a new record deal or anything, it's sort of fun. So I think I'll play two in my sort of retro guy, a little jazzy retro style, because that's sort of thing that's kind of happening
fun.
A little bit now.
Fun.
And so this first one is kind of, if it's time for me to start.
Oh, sure. What's this called?
This one is called Hazel's Eyes. And I wanted to write kind of a Chet Baker-y type song. I don't know if this lives up to that, but...
Is this something that's been recorded and people can get someplace or?
Soon. Yeah, I think Hazel's Eyes is on my Facebook music page.
Is it?
Okay. Just a recording of it. And yeah, these are kind of newish in the sense that I'm just moving into this particular project.
How
so
fun.
These will be up soon.
Well, how cool of you to come share it with us here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
All right, well, then here's Dan McKenzie singing Hazel's Eyes.
That'll be the first one, yeah.
On the Life Changes Show.
Great.
Hazel's eyes are welling up again like stormy skies. Clouds open up and then it rains for days. In Hazel's eyes, Hazel dreams. In vintage photographs of Steve McQueen, he signs an autograph and winks an eye, and Hazel sighs. She longs to be somebody else as a whirlwind. I love her, let me count the ways. I'm not with her, but if she were my girlfriend, all I would do is sit and gaze in Hazel's eyes. Her whole face lights up when they fantasize. No man alive today would be unfazed by Hazel's eyes. She longs to be somebody else's whirlwind. I love her, let me count the ways. I'm not with her, but if she were my girlfriend, all I would do is sit and gaze in Hazel's eyes.
Cool.
Very cool. I've heard some of your music, but I haven't heard you do anything like that, and I didn't expect that. Okay, so Doug Newsom wants to chime in and said, wow, awesome.
Oh, cool.
So he's our program manager, BBS Radio. Dan McKenzie, everybody. You know, it's very cool, and it's not only retro in the sound, but it's also retro in the sentiment, kind of going back to what we were talking with Orrin Harris. Like, it's real. It's like it takes this simple thing, which we've lost sight of, you know. It's like, give a girl a bling or this or that, and all you're saying is, I just want to look in her eyes. I mean, That's awesome.
Thanks.
Where does that come from? I mean,
well, you know, I think anyone who's loves songwriting, I shouldn't speak on anyone or everyone's behalf. I should say just autobiographically. I grew up on the Beatles and James Taylor, you know, my parents' record collection. So it was Simon and Garfunkel, Stevie Wonder, like really great songwriters. And they were influenced by like the Cole Porters and Tin Pan Alley writers. And I think so, even though I was also, you know, in my sort of more formative years, I was listening to a lot of, you know, 80s British guitar rock and stuff. Even stuff I was drawn to there was really, I mean, the Smiths, Morrissey, that guy who people probably don't even know anymore, just had some of the best, really inspiring lyrics to me that were really about human emotion and very poetic and stuff. So I think that lives in me in some place and wants to come out in whatever way it can. And I think there's some great stuff out there now. But you know, there's a lot of stuff that I don't really resonate with as much. And I guess that's the beauty of having the choice. But I think I tend to go a little old school lyrically, even in some of my more modern stuff. It's like I can't write a line where I don't know what I'm saying in terms of meaning, you know?
Yes. Yes. And we were talking about that too. Exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm curious and excited about the second one.
All right. Okay. This will.
What's this called?
This one is called Only the Finest. And Mark's actually heard this one.
Mark's heard
we
this.
Met, but, this is the all you need to know by way of disclaimer is this song. There's a line called Bois de Portugal, right? A phrase, I should say. And what that is it's something I have in common with Frank Sinatra, at least so I've been marketed to, namely that was his favorite cologne. It's this obscure old cologne that I discovered somewhere, and they don't even make it anymore, but it's just a line in the song, so in case you're wondering what that is, now you know.
And this is called what?
Only the Finest.
Only the Finest. Oh, that's right. But I have to mention, since people can't see you, that that wah-wah trumpet you heard earlier was actually him doing that with his mouth.
You
that
may
was,
be hearing more of that.
Oh, really? We get more wah-wah trumpet?
I think it's part of my retro guy thing. I think when I can't play rip and lead guitar solo, I just said it again. Now that you've mentioned, I'm going to put more in, okay?
Okay.
Perfect.
That's great. Right. Well, here's only the Finest by Dan McKenzie live here at Life Changes.
I start my day with jasmine tea, Hawaiian mango and Parisian brie. I brush my teeth with Veuve Clicquot. My socks are tailored at Savile Row. When I'm not sipping on Beaujolais, I'm working on my tan in Saint-Tropez. Bombardier jet set, quick commute to the Cayman Islands where I stash my loot. No, she ain't a model, that's my chauffeur. Call me superficial man, whatever. Bois de Portugal, big blue Bentley, bottle of Cristal, never empty, Ferragamo shoes and you, baby, only the finest for me. Only the finest, only the finest, only the finest. So let's get cozy on my Persian bed. Goose down pillows and a million thread. Panorama windows, check the view. Hope the Riviera air agrees with you. Call me ostentatious, call me filthy rich. Haters gonna hate us, baby, life's a bitch. Bois de Portugal, big blue Bentley, bottle of Cristal, never empty, a Ferragamo. Got my shoes and you, baby, only the finest for me. The truth is, baby, I'm about half broke, and these old jeans are not bespoke. Well, Trump's got riches, I got dick. Thank God you're not materialistic. Bum 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 b womp, 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 womp to Portugal. Big blue Bentley, a bottle of Cristal, a never empty Ferragamo shoes. These are definitely not Ferragamo shoes, but I say Ferragamo shoes and you, baby. Only the finest of all me. Only the finest. Only the finest.
Yeah. So there's a twist in that one.
Yes, there is a twist.
Nice.
And it's not a lemon twist.
Yeah. I was envisioning a new show called Anthroposophy. Yeah. That'd be the perfect soundtrack.
Yeah, there you go.
There it is. Wow, that's a fun song. Did you have fun writing that?
Oh, yeah, I had a blast with that one. I don't even know where that came from. You know, sometimes the songs, you just sort of get a melody and something in your head and then you kind of go, well, this is, I don't want to just make a song about all this, you know, superficial crap, because I'm thinking like, well, this isn't what I'm about, but it was something, there was a real swagger to it, and I thought, all right, well, you know, just get real there in the bridge and turn it around a bit, and maybe that'll be the right, you know, you want something to change in the middle eight, as they call it in England, so that's where that came from.
Well, that's a lot of fun. Now, how do people find you? We're going to get your link up on our website.
Yeah.
But other than that?
In the future, it will be danmckenzie.com. For now, I think, and this is a pain in the butt, I think, sometimes, but I do have a music page on Facebook, and it's just, if you search Dan McKenzie under, you know, artist pages, you can find that. I have a project called Good Day Sunshine, named after the Beatles song. I have another project that also has a Facebook page called The Following Guest. So if you find any of those, you can probably link back to Dan McKenzie, the Facebook page. And if you all else fails, you can find my private Facebook page, which is not so private, obviously. And that's Daniel McKenzie.
Yeah. Is there anything private?
Is anymore? Anywhere at all? No, right? I've given up on my privacy, so it's quite liberating.
Privacy is an illusion.
Yeah. Well, we already know about you. You're like the finest in life, and we know about your cologne and everything now. Right. Well, this has been a lot of fun. To make it easier on everybody, you know, send us those links you were talking about.
Yeah.
We'll put them up on our website.
Fantastic.
And people can just go to Life Changes Show and look up Dan McKenzie there. We'll have them all there for you. In the meantime, Dan, thank you so much for coming by sharing those great tunes. I hope you're going to be doing more of those, because that's fun stuff.
I will.
Great, man.
Yeah. Thanks. And I just need a little encouragement.
Well, there you go. And more wop 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 wop, please.
You got it.
Look, you got Oren. He's singing it. Everybody's singing it. We're singing your song. All right. So, well, with that, Oren, thank you. Oren Harris, thanks for being with us.
Yes, my
pleasure.
This
is great. We'd love to do more with you as well. I'm feeling like this is a great show, and I feel like the two of you need to connect.
Yeah,
for some reason.
Yes, I had that thought too.
You had that thought, really?
I did, yeah.
Okay, well, there it is. So with that, I'd like to start by thanking our engineer here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so good. You made the wah-wah sound good. Thank you, Brent.
Thank you, Brent.
And everything else. And our engineer and program manager at BBS Radio, Doug Newsom, thank you. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and our producer, Mark Leger, I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you, as your life changes, like ours just did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.